Andy Westley was a paramedic and a very accomplished driver, something that he loved to do until everything changed very suddenly. And Andy joins me now on the line. Hi, Andy.
Hi.
Tell me, what was life like as a paramedic?
It was good. I was one of the very first, 1986, qualified. And then I progressed on into teaching paramedics later on.
Seems quite a stressful job, is it?
Yes, it is. You see every side of life, really. That there's nothing that phases me now in terms of that sort of stuff. It was probably about 40 years I was working with and around the ambulance service.
Yeah, so you see a different side of life with that, don't
you? Yes, you do.
Yeah. Are you a bit of a petrol head, am I right in saying that?
I am, yeah. I used to work at a motor racing circuit.
Wow.
As a paramedic. Oh, and a health and safety manager, and a stadium safety manager. Yeah, it was quite good.
So you had a busy life, and then it all changed. Tell us a bit about that.
Well, I was back in tutoring. I was actually teaching paramedics or technicians and paramedics around the country. And I had a bit of a problem with the leg and sort of gave up half of one of them and had a prosthesis. And then my eyes started to play up and went blind in the left eye as a result of a detached retina. And then my right eye started to play up and I went to the doctors in the April. And by the May, I'd got central vision only because they did some laser surgery, which apparently causes a problem with diabetic patients and or sometimes does. And I'm left with central vision down in the right eye, and that's all I've got left. And I was a bit sort of shocked by that because that meant that I couldn't drive. I used to teach blue light driving. So I was teaching people for probably 20 years how to drive on blue lights. And it just sort of came as a bit of a shock when you sort of, you've been doing this and you've been going quick and you understand roads and you understand what's happening on the roads. And then suddenly you can't actually do it and you're restricted to buses and the passenger seat. It's a bit scary.
And also, you've invested so much of your life into your work and your hobbies as well. It must have been a real shock to the system.
It was. It was a heck of a shock. I got to a brink. I was on the precipice. I was not feeling very good about myself and thinking I was absolutely useless. And what was it, you know? Is this it? I used to sit in the garden. Fortunately, it was the summer that was hot. And I sat in the garden thinking, well, is this it? Looking around the four corners of the garden, you know what I mean?
I do. I know you're sitting there. You sometimes you just need to take some time, don't you?
Yes, yeah. And, well, RNIB was my saving grace. A guy called Warren Wilson was at the hospital where my other half works, and she spoke to him, and he said, tell him to talk to RNIB. And after a bit of badgering, because I was thinking, well, they're not going to help. All they do is, you know, guide dogs. Now I know they don't do guide dogs, but it was a case of I didn't really expect what I got.
What did you get then?
Well, I phoned up the helpline. And I spoke to a very nice lady, and I, for the life of me, I can't remember her name. I feel really guilty about that because she was so lovely. And she talked me through some of the things that might be available to me. And because I explained where I was, and I've got a cataract operation pending and all those sorts of things. And when you've only got one eye and there's a cataract coming out of it, you start thinking, oh, gosh, you know, is this... Is this going to be the end of that eye? And she guided me towards the advice line, the eye health line, and I spoke to them and they explained what would happen, and the surgery that I'd had previously might probably make it more safe for me to have the operation. And when I spoke to my consultant, he said exactly the same. So that tied me in and I was going for the operation. So that was good. I spoke to the advice line and I didn't realise the amount of things that were available to me. I talked to them about where I was, how I was feeling, and they said you need to go to a living with sight loss course. And it was a while before I could get to that course, which was, it was probably the March the following year, February, March. And there was Bernie Etherington. What a wonderful woman. What a wonderful lady. She controlled this course and she knew everybody in the room. She'd only met them once, but she knew everybody and their problems, and she was able to convince me that I was blind enough to be blind.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean, because I didn't think I was blind enough to be blind. I was registered, but I still could see a bit, and I thought I wasn't blind enough, you know. And she said, come on, you can do stuff, and to the whole group, and you can do something with your life. And I still didn't believe it. And then I met the Connect people, Lisa Frobisher, Becky Tolliday, to say but two. And they said, well, we're having a meal out tomorrow. Do you want to come? And I said, well, yeah. And I got in a taxi because I'd not been on a bus yet. I got in a taxi and went down to this restaurant. They do a fine dining meal once a month, and it's absolutely beautiful. And the people that were there were so friendly and so accommodating that I felt, well, I could do something, and I could enjoy my life. And I go there once a month now, and I go to their coffee and cake thing once a month. So that was part of the advice thing, the living with sight loss course, because it showed you all sorts of gadgets that you could use to help you. And I found it very, very fresh for me as somebody that's now partially sighted. It was fresh and opening. It gave me a new view on life, a new perspective.
A place to start, isn't it? Again, sort of thing. And you've got the social aspect of it as well, and you can build on that. Yeah. You've been doing some voluntary work as well for RNIB, haven't you?
Yes. I said because they've been so good to me, I wanted to give something back. I mean, I had counselling and things like that from the RNIB. And I've been going out and doing my life story to the roadshow, the Connect roadshow. And it was well received, I think. It helped me, in actual fact, because when I talk to people about my life and my background and then my future life, I used to get really upset. I used to get quite tearful. And by talking about it these few times, it made me feel a bit better about me, and that was good. But giving something back to RNIB is my main focus now. We go out fundraising, hook a duck and things like that, but it's the social aspect of that as well. You know, you're talking to kids, you're talking to people, you're showing people the special glasses that tell them how you can see, you know, show them how you can see. And it's a bit of education, because I used to teach paramedics, and to me, I need to be speaking to people, you know what I mean?
I do, and I think it can be very cathartic as well, because you actually learn from others and their experiences as well at the same time, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, have you been back blind driving?
Not yet.
Not yet. Are you planning to?
No, I'm planning to, and I'm hoping to talk to a motor racing circuit near me.
Oh, fantastic. Something I've never done. I would love to do some of that, yeah.
With my contacts that I've got in the sport, I might, you know, might be able to do something there. But whether they'll be let me drive a car around the circuit again, I don't know. But they might take me on a ride. I used to be pace car driver for the Legends and things like that.
Wow. But was that something that you thought that was like all finished when this all hit you?
Oh gosh, yeah, that had been gone probably about 6 years because I left and went into teaching again. But to be able to do it again, it might just be something else. You know, so I'll be talking to people about that and see what I can do.
Yeah, but you at least you know at one point you think, well, my life's ended. Yeah, and you kind of like, and I think also comes into that is sometimes we feel like we're going to be a burden as well.
Oh gosh, yeah. Yeah, my other half has been absolutely incredible. She's been there for me and forcing me to do things that I really didn't want to do in terms of going out shopping with her, going in through busy shopping centres and things like that. Because she said, if you don't do it, you're not going to get anywhere. And she's probably right. She was very supportive all the way through, and I can't thank her enough.
Yeah, and I think sometimes the family members go through as much stress, but from a different angle as we do.
Oh gosh, they do. I mean, can you imagine? You're working, and then suddenly you're not working, and then the finances dry up, and you think it's less than I expected to be at where I am now. You know, I'm 65. I expected to be fairly well off with all my bits and bobs coming in. And, you know, we were struggling for a while. And, yeah, that was something else that made me feel uptight and upset. And I used to get angry and, you know, with myself, not with her, not with anybody else.
Yeah, it's frustration, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a frustration that you know, it's out with your control.
Yeah, it is. You know, you can't do what you want to do. With my prosthesis, it was walking to the bus stop. The bus stop is sort of 20 minutes away. And my worker from the council in Peterborough, the sensory worker, she was absolutely lovely. She actually gave me the confidence to be able to walk that distance and find my way round the area. Because whilst I could see limited things. And she was very, very supportive. And she got me onto the bus the first time. And then she met me in town and took me to busy places. And she was lovely. She was really good as well. So my whole experience of becoming visually impaired is a new beginning now, you know, from everybody that supported me, and especially the RNIB. I can't praise the people that I've spoken to. I've even used the Technology for Life group within the RNIB, that they have been incredible.
If you're at home and you're listening to this and you might be just dealing with this, don't forget the RNIB's helpline, which can be open a gate to many things, as Andy was saying there. It's 0303 123 9999, 0303 123 9999, and that one phone call, Andy, can open up a lot of doors.
Oh gosh, it did. And it was one phone call, literally. And then I had a phone call back from the advice line. Then they put me in touch with counselling. Then they put me in touch with the health line, the eye health line. Then they put me in touch with Technology for Life and the Living with Sight Loss. And from there, I've actually moved on and moved on. And I feel really, I don't feel better, but I feel better with myself. You know, my mental attitude to life has changed. You know, I feel that I've got something to offer again.
Well, Andy, it's been fantastic to chat with you. And if you go ahead with the motor racing side of it, I'd love to chat with you again. But in the meantime, Andy Wesley, thank you so much for sharing your life with us.